Sorry, Chris, there must have been another slide on there. My apologies. No, it's good. Anybody watch the Super Bowl this year? Anybody? Yeah, did you watch the Super Bowl? Yeah, few folks. And, you know, everyone had wanted to see what Taylor Swift was going to wear. And Vegas had 71.4% odds that she was going to wear red. And only 15.4% that she was going to wear black. So if you went on black, you were very wealthy, apparently. But that's not what we came to see. We wanted to see football, and I have to confess, I only watched that game the whole year. I'm a bad football player. But after the game, my son Daniel and I said, we're going to watch more football. That was so exciting. First half, Kansas City Chiefs are down right at the half, and you're like, oh, this is going to be tough. And then the next half, they come back. There's the last seconds of the game. They kick a field goal, and they send it into overtime. And then Mahomes throws a touchdown pass. They win the Super Bowl. Incredible comeback. I was on the edge of my seats. My son was up way too late. And yet it was incredible just to see it live, this amazing comeback. Maybe not the greatest comeback in NFL history, but right up there with the greats. Incredible comeback. In some ways, the ladies going to the tomb, they get to witness the greatest comeback in history of the world. The greatest comeback. Notice Mark tells us that the women, the two Marys and Salome, they arrive at the tomb. They don't know it's a comeback. They've actually come prepared for the funeral. They've come prepared with the spices. They want to make a good send-off for their friend, their Lord. It's the emotions are there. They're sad. It's down. And yet, Mark makes this careful note. Why list the women's names, right? Mary, Salome. He makes careful account as if to say, if anything's going to happen, if anything's going to happen in terms of you want to know who was there, you're going to know. He writes it out. So he puts their names. You want to know, go back and ask details? Go see Mary. Go see Salome. And these ladies have no idea the magnitude of the comeback they're about to witness. And they're there for the funeral, and yet it's bleak. Their lives, it's bleak. They've got nothing going on for them. Peter and the disciples are defeated. They're ashamed of their sin. They're back in the upper room. You know, they're afraid. They're not even there at the tomb. Mark chapter 8 earlier explains that Jesus told his disciples that this is all going to go down. You know, he says he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be betrayed into the hands of the elders and the chief priests. He said he's going to be killed. He said he was going to, 3 days later, raise again. They knew this was going to happen, and yet there no one's there at the tomb. You know, the women go for the funeral. They're down. They can't believe it. It's hard to believe in resurrection when the rest of life seems to deny the possibility, and it's just fear and failure. It wasn't just a challenge for Mary and Salome, but we live in a Good Friday world today, don't we, at times? A world of suffering, of questioning, of unfairness, trouble, a world of injustice. God intended a beautiful world, and it's not. It's hard not to go negative in our lives. Others are ashamed of their past, living in bondage to something that they did years ago or have been done to them years ago. And it's still haunting them. As I prepared the sermon today, a few days ago, Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk announced and delivered a blunt warning to Europe as he believes we've entered a pre-war era. He said, I don't want to scare anyone. Thanks a lot. Because he says, I don't want to scare anyone, but if Ukraine is defeated, you just don't know. I know it sounds devastating, especially for the younger generation, but we have to get used to the fact that a new era has begun, the pre-war era. I'm not exaggerating. It's become clearer every day. Boy, that's good for the mental health. Yet, like the women and the disciples, we too are living in a Good Friday world. People seem to have purposes, but it's only for getting ahead or choosing revenge or gathering around ideology and greed. Others struggle to accept suffering and illness that happens to us for no reason. We didn't do anything. Or our relationships that are strained and it's just hard to go to a family gathering. In the Netflix series, 100, Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. I don't know if you've seen this or read the book. Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. And there's five places in the world. Okinawa, Japan. Ikaria, Greece, Nicoya, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California. So these five places where people seem to have figured out how to live to 100. Anybody want to go to these five places? Anybody want to go anywhere to these five places? Yes, thank you. If you put the bill for me, I'll be there in the plane with Let's do it. But I think what we... Oh, there, I didn't turn on my mic. Sorry, Chris. I think the one thing that these five places... You think diet and exercise, right? That's always what we think, how to live long. You know what he found? He found living with a purpose. So these ladies in Japan, they cook food for the whole community. And that's what gets them up every morning. They have a purpose every morning. The guys in California are... You know, they're 80, 90 years old playing pickleball, and they're doing their thing, and they're gathering the community together, right? Each one having a purpose, and this is how they are able to live in this post-truth era where it doesn't seem like there is any purpose. It's into the darkness of a Good Friday world that God rises with the hope of Easter. God rises with the comeback. The angels tell the woman, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. The good news of Easter is he is not here. He's been risen. And the angels confirm it. They affirm it. They say he's not here. And the angel says those sweet words of faith. He's not here. He is risen. God calls the woman, calls us to remember this, to celebrate it, and to celebrate God's victory in raising Christ from the dead. And he tells them and us not to be afraid to proclaim this truth in our lives and in our community. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Go and tell them, yes, the world seems like a Good Friday world, but the comeback has arrived. Easter is here. We are an Easter people. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that means that we're not bound by the past. We're not bound by mistakes. We're not bound by sin. The resurrection is the guarantee that love wins, that new creation is on the horizon, and that Jesus wasn't lying. We don't need to be sad or confused or purposeless. The women makes it seems like a Good Friday. But Easter has come. Now go and tell Peter's. Friend, God calls not just Mary and Salome, but God calls us to remember this, to celebrate it, and then to go and tell others in this dark Good Friday world. I'll get in trouble for saying this, but there's always a but, right? Jim, thank you. Somebody's laughing. I don't know. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. Well, it's kids, so kids said it, so I can't. A Sunday school teacher had just finished telling her third graders about how Jesus had been crucified and placed in a tomb, and that stones sealed the opening. Then, wanting to share the excitement of resurrection, she asked, "And what do you think Jesus' first words were as he came out of the tomb?" And a little hand shot up, and this little girl was so eager to tell the story. She says, I know. And the teacher said, go ahead, tell us, what were Jesus' first words as he came out of the tomb? And she says, ta-da! I'm like, that's amazing. And then another little boy said, well, what do you think Jesus' first words were? And this little boy says, please stop staring and pass me some fish sandwiches. It's been 3 days and I'm starving. The teacher asked a final question. Why did Jesus appear to women at the resurrection? A girl answered, he wanted to be sure that the news would spread quickly. Not only does God call us to celebrate it, not only does God call us to remember it, but God calls us to share it. God calls us to share the good news of resurrection. We are an Easter people. We are people of the comeback. I know it feels sometimes that we live in a defeated time, and there's sadness and hopelessness, but we do have a future. We do have a purpose. Let's remember that we are Easter people, even on the Good Friday days when we feel like there is no hope. Each time we display this kind of love for others, we share in the resurrection. Each time you face a betrayal and get through the other end by not doing what you really want to do, we remember the resurrection and we share it in Jesus' name. Each time we fail in our attempt to ward off temptations, but we keep going and overcome them, we keep going. We share the resurrection. Each time we continue to hope, even when hope seems nowhere around, we share in the power of Jesus' resurrection. Easter is a message of the comeback. It's a message that nothing can defeat you and me in this world. Not pain, not sin, not rejection, not death, because Christ has conquered all of these, and we too can conquer in his name. The story of God's comeback is what God has done through Christ, yes. But it isn't over at the empty tomb. It's only just getting started, and you are invited to be part of the story. At the end of the story, the women are scared, they're terrified, and their mouths are closed. But in just the next part of Mark's gospel, they go and tell Peter, the guy who turned his back on Jesus, and they have this good news. Imagine Peter hearing that good news from these ladies and what it meant to him. It's true, and then he races to the tomb. You know, he's defeated, he feels like a failure. Boom, right? You have this power through Christ to lift people up when they're hurting and they've failed and they've gone through mistakes and they feel like a failure. The story isn't over. You and I have a part to play, and it's only the beginning. It's only beginning. As a church, we're invited to live the comeback in our lives. Friends, God calls you to remember, to celebrate, and to proclaim, to share God's good news with your lives. All praise and glory to the good God of creation. Amen.